Catch up with the entire season of Pandora anytime on the CW app or download it on iTunes. You can also watch Pandora in Canada on the Space Channel.
This is Steve Crozier, executive producer of Pandora. We're here with episode 5, most likely to go your way, ... and I'll go mine. Probably the longest title we have really long. This episode, this series for season 1, which are all, as you may or may not know, Bob Dylan songs.
All Bob Dylan songs.
And so I'm here with Martin Bob Semple, who plays Cadet Thomas Ross.
Yep.
Indeed.
Now, again, don't be alarmed when you hear him speaking in his natural British accent, mm-hmm. because he speaks an American accent.
I would do the American accent, but...
It'll freak us out. We hear it enough in the show. Like, I know John Kim is, I guess, does some American accent. I don't want to hear it, because that'll really freak me out.
Yeah, I've only known him with his Australian accent.
So Brett funny. Simmons is here, director of the episode. This is actually first and second episode, because this one and 104 were directed together.
Yeah, so 5 and 4.
Excuse me. Well, 5 and 4 were shot together. So, yeah, kind of the same shoot, but totally different.
And last but not least, another accent here, Maximilian Schmigge, director of photography, DP.
Thanks for having me again. These are fun.
All right, here we go with 105. So we always start with about a 45-second previously on, showing what happened in previous episodes to get everyone else. This is what CW wants, and it actually helps out storytelling-wise.
This seems like so long ago.
Also super epic. Like, I don't know, when I first saw the recap, I was like, wow, oh my God.
And some of the stuff we had just seen. This one is written by Darren Scott, who did a great job.
He's awesome.
Awesome guy, huge fan of genre. He's great to work with. Mark and I have known him for a while. He's a big fan of Comic-Con. I think that's where Mark met him originally. He was just so energized to write for the show, and he did a great job.
Yeah.
And this was a very ambitious episode. Right? You could get into more about all the parts in this one.
He wrote a great episode, for sure. I mean, this episode, all intents and purposes, is Thomas's episode, which was really exciting to me because it's also a father-son episode, which is something I identify with very deeply. And so I love the idea of kind of diving into Thomas's character more, diving into his relationship with his dad a lot, but also the fact that it's a heist episode was just
so
totally
cool.
It's the reason I didn't go crazy shooting episode 4 was because of all the fun stuff here that we had to balance out. On the ship here, I was really stoked with the fact that we only had 2 actors in the ship, which meant that we could be a little more controlled with our coverage. Mm-hmm. And so this was the second day of my shoot for 4 and 5 together. We're on the ship, and I told Max, I was like, hey, like, what if we do some French overs in this ship? And this is when we learned...
With the crew holding rocks outside the windows. Yeah.
We actually flew into space. This was when Max and I learned that we love putting the camera behind people. We love it.
Was this the same day we also filmed the spaceship stuff for episode 4?
Correct, yeah. So this was the end of the same day. We filmed everybody on the ship for episode 4.
Cleared them out.
Cleared them out, except for Pilar and Xander. And then we shot here, and it was so nice.
Tonally, this was a different episode, being a fun heist episode, which is kind of showed the audience that each week you don't know what you're going to get, which is kind of the fun of tuning in the show. A three-part question here for Martin is, tell us a little about when you were cast on the show originally. When you knew the script was coming, and then when you got this episode, and then working with Richard Blackwood, who plays your father. So parts.
Being cast initially, it was just one audition. Went in the room, and I thought this seemed like a really cool sci-fi show. Got a chance to be American, which was great.
Fooled us. We didn't know.
I didn't hear anything for like 3 weeks. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. It's great. And then I just get a call saying that basically I've booked the role and that I'm going to be flying out to Bulgaria in like a week. I was like, oh, great, cool.
Did you have to take out an atlas and figure out where that was? Or use Google Maps?
I did use Google Maps. Because I was like, I've never been there before. I've never even I've heard of it. I've just never been. I didn't really know where in Europe it was. And then what was the second question?
When you got this script,
Yeah, I knew it was coming up. Because, I mean, Thomas talks about his dad a lot in a negative way up until episode 5. And it was interesting for me to kind of see that and kind of see how it pans out and see why he's so negative towards him. And then working with Richard was really, it was amazing, because I already knew who Richard was back from the UK. So it was great to kind of actually work with him and actually meet him in person and see how much of a great, great person, great actor he was. And it was, you know, our first scene, which we'll see, was actually one of our last scenes in the show. So the first scene that we shot was one of the last scenes that is actually in the show. But our, just meeting him and just the way we got on was, it was brilliant. So just that whole chemistry was already sort of there.
It was like, you guys clicked really, really fast.
Yeah, it was really easy to kind of work with him and just, we didn't really need to get to know each other for that long to kind of just be able to work well with each other. And it was really fun.
Him and Tina brought great energy to the show to the set. Like, everyone was really energized. It was like, just, This is a fun show.
Yeah, they really did.
Well, I know on the last episode we talked about how lucky we were with the guest stars, and I feel like that is like pushed so far into the limit with this episode with Richard and Tina. They're so unbelievable. Yeah. I remember the first day that they came on set and we started shooting their scenes for 105, the gift that I felt like we had with 105 having them in it. I was just like, wow, I mean, not only are the roles interesting roles, but man, our cast is killer. It's just magic.
Yeah, no,
I just love everything that they did with this. And I should point out, before we meet Richard Blackwood on set or in the show, that he also has a very thick accent. And I remember behind the scenes talking with you and Richard how much I loved your guys' natural accents. I was like, dang, I hate calling action on this because then it all goes away and turns into this lame American accent. It's like, it's like, oh, God, like... It just sounds so cool. I just want them to talk to me all the time.
It's so like Americans love the British accent, but then I feel like British people love the American accent as well. So it's like,
really funny.
What do we do here?
Like, the grass is always greener on the other side.
I'm like, what are we doing? We all sound like John Wayne or something.
I had a lot of fun with this scene because this scene was shot in the same block as the scenes that we shot for 104 here with Thomas and Atria. And so there was an air of just fun and the cute, just romantic part of just the beginning of a relationship, and I just had so much fun with what you guys did. And we like to fill the space with a lot of nonverbal stuff too, like just like, hey, just go for it, have fun with it. Let's just make this really fun. This
was hilarious.
You have to tell me. You have to tell the story.
It's okay, hilarious. So I mean, first of all, and Steve can attest to this as well. Meeting Billy Dee here in the Black Hole Lounge was originally a much bigger scene than it already still is.
Oh, we trimmed it down. It was like a 10-page scene.
It was like 10 minutes of episode. Yeah, and I was like, what are we going to do? And there's so many moving parts with the crowd, with the cast, and everybody. And so when we came in, I really like to block like a play so that Max and I can figure out where to put the camera. And we blocked everything that takes place in this scene as one giant massive scene.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It took us a long time.
It was even meant to be like a commercial break somewhere around here, right?
And we just blocked the whole thing, everything in the black hole is one big giant thing. And everyone was able to play it all out in one take. We just obviously needed to get all our coverage, but it was a really, I don't know if we could have pulled this off any other way. The other thing that I was going to say that Max was mentioning was Richard Blackwood does stand-up comedy in real life. He's an incredibly funny guy, incredibly charismatic, and he had to come in here and entertain the crowd. What we didn't account for is that the crowd doesn't speak English.
They had no idea about the jokes.
They had no idea what he was saying, when to laugh, anything. So what you don't see is that behind the camera, Desi, our amazing and incredible angel from heaven, first AD, Desi would stand behind the camera and she would have to cue all of our extras, when to laugh, when to clap, and when to laugh and clap together, because they just didn't know. And our first take, it was just 40 bodies standing there just staring at
Richard Blackwood.
I remember on the day we had no lines for Pilar.
Nope.
So we came up with the whole water thing. Like, we had her in the scene. We were like, we forgot to put her lines in.
She was scheduled. She was scheduled for this day, and really, we didn't realize until on the day, whoa, she doesn't even say anything. So we added that. I love how Raylan just has fun with this moment. But everyone literally, like...
Here's who's not having fun with this moment.
No fun at all. But there was one point where I just told Richard, because he had a stand-up comedy, I'm like, come on, man, like, bust up the crowd. Like, tell him some jokes. And he was like, oh, my God, Brett's just putting me in a gun. And he finally just points to this one extra and just goes like, hey, where are you from? And the extra had no idea what to say. They just went, Bulgaria.
I know, but he went so... Wait, was it a boy or a girl?
It was a, I can't even remember.
I can't remember. But they went so red. It was hilarious. Because everyone just started laughing. It was hilarious.
But yeah, like no one spoke English. And it's just really funny. Because Richard, to his credit, I put him in front of everybody and rolled cameras, and he was up for it.
And Tina.
So Tina was amazing because, I mean, spoiler alert, but she's kind of the bad guy of the episode.
Yeah, basically.
She has this really dark secret agenda. And she did such a great job of just leaning into my character's pretending to be just the arm candy of Billy D. And for all intents and purposes, you think Billy D is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it so well because she takes every scene and was just leaning into it so hard with just this really cool charisma, kind of this quiet confidence and seductive confidence that starts to play out into her becoming the big bad.
And Tina and Richard, we leaned into them in a big way, storytelling-wise, like in terms of guest stars, the big roles. And
big
this
roles.
Was the network has loved all the casting, but this was like, if we don't mind if we see more of them.
Yeah.
This was the first time we thought we could bring people back.
And I was so happy about that, because they were, it's like you said, like the script required them to be a massive part of this episode. I mean, this episode really belongs to Billy D, Tierney, and Thomas.
Right, yeah.
And Billy D and Tierney have never been on the show before until this episode. And they just came out guns a-blazing. They just really took over in the best way possible.
And like you, Martin, this is Richard's first show for American audience.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's right. It's his first American show.
And, I mean, we had so much fun with this episode. Like, I just loved to hate them. It was so fun. It was so fun just playing with that. And just their reactions were just amazing. So it was just so easy to act alongside them.
The last line of that scene, the maybe telling Thomas wasn't a good idea, was originally written for Raylan. And it was, I shot an alternate take with Pilar because I just wanted to give Benita the opportunity to have another line in the scene. And I said, I'm going to leave it to the editor to see. And we had a wager. It was me, Benita, and Ben. We had a wager who was going to get the line in the episode. And as you can see, Benita won. Sorry.
That exterior dorm shot, you know, that was something we shot during the day, and then
like, where is that?
The effects fixed it.
It was near the climbing gym.
That's by the climbing wall.
It was near the climbing wall.
Right.
It's like a weird architecture. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, hey, shoot this. And we shot that angle there. It was like
that was actually an amazing thing
cool.
about.
And then they color. I don't know. They color timed it down and put in a lot of visual effects.
So
it became a dorm establishing.
Because it's full of a lot of like very old traditional architecture mixed with some very modern, like sometimes bizarre, sometimes really cool architecture. And so it makes a lot of sense to shoot a show like this there because of just the mix of it all. The city is naturally giving you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this was very technical.
Yeah.
This was very, very technical.
So I'm a big fan of walking and talking, but it looks much easier than it is because it means that the camera has to also walk and without talking. And
you have to walk at a certain speed because I wanted to just sprint in the scene, but I couldn't.
Because it didn't make sense for them to stop talking until they reached a certain point of the scene.
Right.
So how do we fit all that until they stop? But this was pure magic for me because this was Richard's first day on set.
It was our first day on set together,
So this was your guys' second scene. But it was their first day on.
It was our first like real like scene, like in terms of like the amount of dialogue we had and the amount of emotion that was in it.
Yeah.
And we had just met each other like.
And
Richard
was so easy to get along with. Like as quickly as you clicked with him, I felt like me and the crew clicked with him. Like he was just so fun to work with, and he brought such an excited energy.
Yeah.
To the set this whole thing was just great, and the emotion that you were nailing. Like I remember. My big thing coming into this was I just really wanted to give Thomas his day in the sun with his dad, you know, and like just really leaning into the emotion of this. And I was so excited to just be able to watch you go there with him.
Yeah.
And he was down to play. And, and you're
both
very technical.
It was a really fun scene. It really was.
This scene was a little bit longer and then, you know, got chopped down just a tiny little bit.
Yeah.
But still, like it kept most of its length just because you guys are so magnetic to watch. Also very technical, like Richard also is a very technical actor, like very, very great with coming in prepared with his lines. Let's hit the mark and da da da.
Yeah.
So it could have been a much more complicated scene to shoot
if
I was shooting
it
with anybody else. But I mean you and Richard like really, I'm just really trying to pat your back because like it was so fun shooting this scene with you guys.
But also I feel like you came in with a lot of Like, you were so prepared so that when you told us what you wanted to do, it was just like, okay, cool, that's what we're doing. There was no sort of, like, we weren't trying to find anything, or you literally were like, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to do this, we're going to walk here, we're going to do that, then we're going to turn around. And it was brilliant. So we already knew what we wanted to do because you guys were so prepared, which I think was brilliant. That's
cool. I also, like, I knew, like, this camera that you're seeing, like, I knew what I wanted to do with this, but this camera here is what happens when you don't know what you want to do with the second camera and you just let Max watch the scene. And Max goes, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And this is, like, you know, a lot with in looks, like right here.
Like, that was an important shot to me.
Yeah. But that's, like, cool, like, ins and outs. Like, you just add a little bit of blocking to the scene. You walk away, and then he turns around and gives a look.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's picked up on it, but I'm a very big fan of blocking, and, like, even just the simple turn to camera is something that, like, is very designed and calculated, and I just, I'm a nerd for it. But
this is our first time shooting in the military academy.
I think this is the first time in this room.
In this room.
Yeah. So we shot in here. Because
it wasn't always favorite one, but I think it ended up looking
excellent. And we ended up going back in future episodes back here a lot. To this
room. Yeah, so I know there was another lecture hall. And then we used this one just by necessity and ended up being great. But then this was another one of those scenes, kind of like I mentioned in episode 4, where just Oliver and Priscilla's natural chemistry and the way the schedule was working, like, we were just ahead on our day and we weren't rushed. And we came in here and just really choreographed some fun blocking and got to rehearse it. And I just remember this scene and this part of the day just being really... really fun, like one of my favorite days of the shoot, because we were just, I felt like we were getting something really cool. I love watching the two of them play off of each other, and what we were able to do with the camera and the movement was just
Yeah, well, you have to pick your balance. You only get so many hours in your day, and this was one of the scenes where we wanted to spend more time, and some of the other ones that were shorter and simpler, we would shoot a little bit quicker, so we would have the luxury to do something like this.
Also, storytelling, this is early in their relationship. You know, Greg had died two episodes previously, but you can kind of start to feel their connection here in this one.
That "not to me" line was actually the line exactly like you were saying, Steve, where, like, I was like, dude, this is an opportunity, Oliver, for you to kind of show just a little bit of a glimpse of your feelings for Jax. But it was fun to teeter the line because we're still early in the season. We know we want to see these two end up together, but we don't know how or when that'll happen. But we do want to start to expose a little bit of the emotion behind the armor.
And you don't want them to fight. You kind of want them to be like, no, guys. Like,
And so I feel like even though they're at odds with each other, it's like the classic, you know, like, movie romance where they're at odds really as a facade for their feelings.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
like seeing Jax play into it, too. Like, there's some really fun emotion that they played with in this scene that I just love. But this is what happens when amazing actors get in a scene together. It was super
so
cute. Harsh.
It's these scenes, so like, don't feel cute. So long because, like, we keep moving around. We have her enter in the front, then she walks down, then they talk by the desk, and then go by the window,
and that's
then
what
they
I'm
walk
saying.
Up,
that's
and then he comes back
so
down.
What's so good
and
about you guys is planning.
All right, so here we use another actor skills that we knew about and we were going to utilize.
Yes.
This was dream fulfillment.
So you know how to ride horses.
I do, but I have to say, great horse, but he was very disobedient. Very, very disobedient.
It's Harry is his name, right?
Harry is his.
I think it was
is his character name, but I think George was his real name.
Oh, okay. It was fun to be in the Old West. It was fun. To,
it
like,
was fun.
Play
it was a
VR
very fun day. It was very hot,
it.
Though. It was very fun.
It was very hot.
Very hot.
And it got very windy also later
on. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I remember just going to film school and watching all the behind the scenes of, like, Harrison Ford not being able to keep his hat on while he rode his horse in Indiana Jones. And I was like, that seems stupid. And then here we were in Bulgaria and Martin's hat kept blowing off every time he rode.
And the horse keeps fighting.
It's because he basically has, like, wings.
And the horse was just kind of being stubborn, just like, I'm going to go this way.
This is at the back lot on Bufo, which, Bufo, you know, when we saw, we're like, well, we got to use it in some form. Mm-hmm. Here it is in the VR room. Thankfully, we have a very skilled actor and horse rider in Martin.
That was cool.
I wonder
so
who
cool.
that is. This was a fun scene, though, because with me and Priscilla, it was like, it wasn't really a lot of acting involved. We were literally just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And I remember
no
us talking. Yeah, we were just talking. We were talking afterwards, and we were both like, did you act in that scene? Were you? I was like, no. She was like, no. Because we were just talking, and it was great. It was great.
Now, what was funny about being here in the Old West was the fun part is over, and then Tierney comes out, and Tina had about, I want to say, when I looked at the call sheet, I believe she had 6 pages of dialogue to memorize and perform.
She had a whole novel to say.
Yeah, she had so much stuff. And I remember thinking, man, guys, we got to help her out with cue cards or something or break up how we shoot it. And Tina came out here and nailed it. Mm-hmm. She was just like,
just knocked it out.
She didn't stumble once.
Brett,
like, call said all of her lines.
All of her lines. Top to end. Like 15 times and it was fine.
Yeah. It was insane.
Also, the saloon doors were actually installed 24 hours previously
when they weren't there.
A beer commercial was filming in the saloon and,
oh, no way.
And put in the doors and put in a ton of furniture on the inside. Yep. Furniture's all gone, but they left the doors. So it was like, all right, cool. Because it was just boarded up, I think.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were going to do about the saloon. That was in the script. Because originally
thanks
I was
to
like,
the commercial for providing those nice doors.
Wherever you guys are, but thanks for the saloon.
This was such an easy scene for me.
I just had to
stand there and listen.
This scene wasn't easy for Max.
You had to ride in, though.
I did, but then once that was all done, I was like, okay, Tina, talk. Just talk.
This conversation, this one conversation is shot over the course of like 4 hours, 5 hours of a day, and the sun was moving all over the place, and so Max had his work cut out for
this
him.
This is a cool flashback with Thomas's dad during the war. This is also filmed in that same room.
That same room
that we used for
You've
a lot of
been in this room before
rooms.
When Xander was looking at his plans in 104. And but this was another one where we just lucked out with guest stars. Like, even this was a local actor who came to play as a Tarian, and he was like so great to work with and like so game to play. And he, I mean, this is all stuff that's, I mean, that's acting.
Is it a color time effect, Max? Did they get this like visual look? With
this was color time, or in post, I think, when they were editing, they added this.
That was so cool. It was just kind of fun to see. See Richard in the uniform, see him in the element, and actually get to see a glimpse of this.
You see, he's learning. He's a damaged individual, and there's a reason why he left the family.
Yeah. The whole redemption of his character and his perception to Thomas and their relationship was really touching to me from the get-go with the script on this episode.
Billy Dee was sort of a placeholder name that kind of
went
the distance.
It went the distance. Funny because I loved how that transition.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. It was literally done perfectly.
I know. I love all the VR room transitions are cool. That was
so cool.
Good. Yeah.
That was another one of those VFX things where I hadn't seen anything of either of the episodes come together yet, and I was like, well, fingers crossed. And then
it
came together.
It really worked.
Yeah,
like,
it just worked out.
I don't know if it's whatever, but like, camera was in the right place, everything was in
the
place.
You just measured the distance where you're standing to the lens with the same height. Yeah. And then
absolutely perfect.
Like, Max and I were really intentional with how we wanted their movement to be timed.
Yeah.
Well, your movement. Yeah, but then Max, like, had all the detail of placing the camera in the right place, and it was, yeah, my job was super easy. I can't even take credit. Okay, so the jogging scene.
Jogging time.
I want to tell a quick story about this. On behalf of Max and myself. So this was Tina's first day, first scene, first time working with Tina. And
I met her when she was in that costume.
Because you guys were getting ready, Richard, right? So Richard was still in makeup with Martin. I hadn't met him yet. Tina came, and we had this whole big scene with him with her and Jax. And we had a lot of dialogue to cover here. And Max and I had just come out of Indica.
With a steady cam, with rocks on the ground.
So imagine Max and I have just spent like 4 days at the Palace of Culture, two of which were three levels down below with zombies and mold. And then we came out to this park with the sun and Priscilla and Tina, no more zombies. And we were like, you know what? We're going to block the hell out of this scene. And we're going to get the camera everywhere. And we just were milking this moment, just breathing fresh air for the first time in like a week. We had so much fun. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't gotten any feedback on any of the zombie stuff from the Palace of Culture or anything yet. The first time we heard from anybody, it was, man, that jogging scene with Tina and Priscilla was amazing. And we were like, what about all the zombies and all the stunts and whatever? They're like, man, that park looked gorgeous. What about the hallways and the corridors?
Because I think we made so much more out of something very simple of just two people stopping and supposed to be talking.
Yeah. It was just a dialogue scene that we just went all out for.
Yeah. This is a lot, you know, setting up the caper and a lot of mythology for Jax here about her mother and Tina knows her. So there's a lot of stuff that we end up paying off later on. That's set
big
up,
time. Set I up mean, there. It is a really important scene, and it's also, I think, important to see Tierney's manipulation because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know her true hand yet.
Yeah. Right? And you start to see a bit of it, but then you're just like, maybe she's just trying to help. And but you don't really know until later.
Right. And that was something that was so, I appreciate so much, because this is like, again, Tina's first scene.
Yeah.
And our conversations right away were turning into, how do we toe this line accurately? And how do we we suggest it without
There's another random city shot of Sophia that we just shot it because that building looks so weird. We thought, like, maybe we'll use it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure enough, someone thought it was okay to use.
It's a hotel.
So this is shot at the Marinella Hotel.
Marinella Hotel.
This is the
Hotel Marinella.
Is this the Vice Presidential Suite?
Vice Presidential Suite.
Yeah.
I never stayed at the hotel, but
Right.
Yeah, we ended up filming there a few times.
It has an interesting look.
The marble
sure.
that's behind Tina here, like, imagine an entire hotel that looks like that.
Yes.
It gets overwhelming.
That's literally what it looks like.
It's shiny. It's got random patterns everywhere. And it's like, I refer to the Hotel Marinella as like, I always called it like if Tim Burton opened a casino, like it would be the Hotel Marinella.
That's lots
like
of stories around this
You walk into the lobby
place.
And you get dizzy. There's so much going on.
This scene was fun because they were just so game to fight.
And wasn't this like the last day?
This was the last day.
It was, right?
It was. This was my last day of the 4 and 5 block. So I had been shooting for 14, 15 days or something.
We all went to dinner at the restaurant.
Yeah.
We did. This was a great time. It was the first time I felt like everyone, you know, like, we're celebrating like a big, you know, we got over like five episodes in.
Yeah,
it was like
I remember that.
Pretty good time. Everyone had a good
time. I mean, it was a really easy day for me because here you have Tina and Richard who are just pros, just bringing their A game, just down to do anything and everything, memorize, we're ready to go. And it was my last day and I had already conquered all the zombies and everything, so I'm like, I'm coasting easy, just like, let's get the camera in some cool spots.
We had great fantastic ideas always.
We had so much fun, like we were just like riffing live on the set. It was like,
and that's when you see her, who she really is, for the first time.
But it always just works out well because you always came in very prepared. Like you were blocking in mind. You had written
down. That's
what
down, I mean. Always.
And then we would just sit down and like talk it through, and we would block it out with the actress again and make adjustments. But Brett really came in super prepared.
It was
prepared
so easy to honestly.
Brett, I'm surprised you didn't eat those Doritos there.
That was so hard.
I was.
So what happened was, funny thing about the Doritos is that our the props team, they had to start spraying them with hairspray so that they wouldn't taste good because all the extras would eat them. And so they go around and start dousing the Doritos in hairspray, and I found out the hard way.
I just remember between every take, even if I'm not eating them, Bobby would just come over with like a bag of Doritos and was filling up. I'm like, sorry.
Bobby's one of the heroes.
He's like, I'm running out. I'm like, sorry.
I was going to say about what you were saying, Max, about the blocking is, I think what's really important, if I could bestow any of my personal wisdom to anyone who cares, is, you know, we came in prepared, very well prepared for everything. But what I learned very early on was when you come in prepared, you can throw it all out to just embrace what's happening live. And you come in with the plan so that you can obey whatever's happening live in front of the camera, and I think we captured a lot of lightning in a bottle, I think, because of that.
It's always a great starting point.
Because
You knew where you wanted to go with the scene, but then you maybe realized something else worked out much better.
Yeah, well, I think it leaves room to also listen to the actors. Like, I remember, like, Martin and Richard would have so much great feedback on, like, it feels like this would be a great moment for this, or this could be this.
This is actually a perfect example right here.
So, Martin, was this your first scene?
This wasn't. This was like
first
this
day. This was the end of the first
day. No, this was
end of your guys' first day.
We did, it was.
Because we did your last scene, and then we
it
did that
was.
Walk and talk scene.
Yeah, you're right.
And
it was.
This.
Yeah.
It was a good scene, because he's trying to look at you, but you
but
keep
I was
staring
just
forward.
Kept staring forward, the whole time. And I remember when you said, okay, I'm thinking that I want you to sit down and not look at him, and I was like, same.
I was like, no eye contact. Yeah. Like, just whatever you do, you can only look forward. And
this
which
is where things really get cooking. This is really when
the heist gets going.
Like this sort of the fun. Ocean's 11, getting into the heist.
Yeah.
With
this
telling
was a
the story
lot of
before
fun.
Getting into the real-time part of it.
I mean, this was very ambitious. I mean, we were at the military academy. Well, no, we weren't. We were at the university, Sophia University, shooting a lot of this. And we were bouncing around all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten to talk about Noah yet, because Noah isn't in this episode a ton. We just have one scene with him and before and then now here. But Noah was right up there with Ben as far as someone that I really enjoyed that I couldn't wait to work with more. And so episode 10 gave me that. But I was just, God, he's so cool. Like, I look forward to getting
him. Oh, I remember this. We didn't have a lot of time to
do this.
We
were very rushed on this. So, again, like, going back to what I was saying, the Sophia University, it's just a wealth of locations there, and it's just amazing. And we wanted this Indiana Jones kind of like heist feel. Like we want to go everywhere.
Well, like one of the last scenes of the day. I think this was the second last of the day, right?
This is the end of the day, and we were very ambitious. I shouldn't say we. I should say I maybe selfishly got a little too ambitious with all the places that I wanted to shoot. I maybe could have been more economical, but at the end of the day, both me, Max, Steve, like we were all just like, let's just hustle through and shoot everything we can here because this location's so cool. We wanted this.
We even wanted to keep going further into that map room beyond two rooms. But we obviously wanted the mammoth skeleton. Yeah.
These are great like locations, but the challenges with filming like in Europe in some of these older buildings, it's really slow to move around.
Yeah.
Getting from one place to another.
Normally we want to be up here like 2 days or something to get all this stuff because there's another room beyond this room which was awesome.
Really cool. Yeah.
So the whole idea was to keep going and follow them through to the map room.
This is at the top of the Sophia University, and it's an actual mammoth.
It's an actual mammoth skeleton in the back, was there. Yeah. I mean, it would have been great to have shot even more of it. We were just
because we didn't know. I mean, writing it, like I don't know, they're doing a heist and they're breaking into. We hadn't been anywhere, so we're like, we had to actually map it out. Brett, you did a great job, like mapping out exactly where they're going.
Let's do this
but we
here,
had to like figure it
here.
Out later because it was like the heist was sort of just ND places.
Yeah. I like how those scenes play out. They're all playing with each other.
Yeah, they do a good like they all play off each other really well. I think locations flow together, but it's I mean Darren's script had its requirements for the heist, and then it was just a matter of me, Max, and Steve like scouting this place. Just kind of like, all right, well, this can work here. This can work here.
The laser room. We walk into this room. Obviously, there's no lasers.
There was nothing
to be like,
there.
Okay, how do we film this?
No lasers.
This was like, I mean, we looked at like hallways for the laser thing, but this room was so great.
It was just so cool.
Like, let's just use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was another one of those things where it just kind of, hey, we're here and we're greedy.
I remember somebody online was like, why didn't they just walk around the outside? And I'm like, that's no fun.
It's like, because that would be boring.
Exactly. Duh.
I know.
And one of Tina's special skills comes out in this. Right. We had no idea that someone of her height could actually pull off doing the flips. Now, she didn't do all of them.
She didn't do all of them,
but a lot of them.
But then when it cuts together, like it is actually her in quite a lot of the shots.
It is. It's like half of it is hers.
We had a stunt double like rehearse this choreographed sequence of going through all the lasers. And as we were watching the stunt double do it, Tina was like,
I can do it.
There she's doing it.
Tina was like,
the only thing she
like,
didn't
I'm
do
gonna,
was
yeah.
like the backflips.
Yeah,
the backflip she couldn't do. We had to double do it. But like most of the stuff is all
like,
her.
Literally, it's all her.
Like this was the double again. That was back to Tina.
But it was crazy because Max and I are trying to choreograph how we're going to shoot this thing to kind of hide her face. And she's like, why? I'll just go do it.
I know. Her knowing all that stuff saved an enormous amount of time.
Absolutely.
And she was so game. She saw the stumpers. She's like, I could be doing part of this.
Yeah.
And this is also at the Sophia University. It's again, two levels down. Like you can tell we went all the way up there, two levels down.
There's still a lot to shoot of other places here.
I know.
The university is a great
location. There's still so much to shoot. But you gotta,
in number 11, we went back to the laser room, and that's actually the floor of the ballroom dance.
Yeah.
Number 11.
The laser room is also
where
the
beautiful staircase, which you didn't see.
And it's crazy. Yeah, we had to hide from a staircase that you guys finally got to show in episode 12. I'm super jealous of. But that's what's funny is, like, you look at all these locations, you go, it's so cool, so you're at this place, and you got to shoot all these places. But you have to imagine, we're now in the basement of Sophia University, and we needed to move from here
to the top floor,
and we needed to move 50 people.
and next to this room is where we had lunch. It's like a rat scale, like a German beer garden.
This vault, I remember seeing it it was literally like a closet, like a little wardrobe.
Closet and production
design.
But
it looks great. It actually looks great. The way they dressed it was amazing.
I think that vault was the only time that Max really questioned my creative decision making. He's just like, Brett,
you
made
me work extra hard to
go?
Make it good. Like he likes it, but like we had to think extra hard to.
These
make
flashbacks
it look good
were great
because
they were scripted, but we kind of just
we just
doing
didn't really
versions of it.
Yeah,
what we used.
Yeah.
So we got the bike and the cake, and this kid was great. Like it was hard
really
to find someone in Sophia.
Yeah, it's hard to find an actor who could do this, and. Because, you know, kid casting is hard, period. You know, so we really lucked out. But then also, this was a really fun moment because, again, it was the end of one of our shooting days.
It was.
And we knew we had these flashbacks. And I just was like, hey, you know, Max and I had this idea to just go out dusk, get in the sun, and just shoot some fun, kind of dreamy, just a series of a bunch of stuff in slow-mo. And
this was such a fun scene. Me and Richard's shoulders were just finished after this. Love our shoulders that. Were hurting.
Yeah.
But it was so fun to do.
You guys, like, you guys have to understand, when you watch this, you get to see the benefit of a finished VFX lock. But here's Richard and Martin.
Just a green ball.
Just putting their hands up to a ball. Like, it's acting to the nth degree.
This also kind of, you know, activates your powers, Martin. And also, like, there's a big moment. You and Jax's friendship is fractured from what happens in this episode, which carries on into other episodes.
Well, that's what's so cool. It's like, it's a heist, but there are a lot of little story pieces kind of being woven into this.
And obviously, everything was brought into this vault thing, including the Jindu crystal. And all those, like, cases in the background and
what's really funny too is all of this right here pays off in what turned out to be the next episode I would direct. Like, and write. Like, when I did 10, I didn't realize that I was going to be paying off everything that I got to work with in episode 5.
Yeah. I didn't either. But Mark Altman had the bigger plan. But there was definitely a lot of stuff that we're laying in earlier that some we knew and some we didn't.
Yeah. Mm. What was funny, we knew we wanted Raylan on trial, spoiler alert for 10. But
so this was literally our first scene.
This was
and
the
we were
first
sitting
scene.
There talking about nothing. Like, it was actually really cool.
This scene, this was the first scene with second scene for Priscilla and Tina, but first scene for Richard and Martin.
Okay, the key, we didn't know what we were gonna pay off with the key. No joke.
The key was heavy. And now we know what it's paid off.
It was gonna actually give her some answers to her past, but we weren't sure exactly what it would be.
But, like, to the credit of everybody, all the ideas of what would be done with the key is what ended up being done with the key.
But, basically.
But what I love about this is, again, like, talk about French overs. We have this amazing moment where father and son are finally connecting. Richard's first time sitting on a bench talking as Billy Dee with Thomas. And where the camera is just... And what you guys did with the performance, like, I just loved this scene so much. Like,
it was a really cool scene.
I got so choked up, like, watching this moment. It's such a small, simple moment, but I just.
And in terms of like acting wise, it was like, okay, cool, I like you now. But then, like, a couple scenes later, we went back to, like, hating each other. Then we went back. It was really cool. It was great to explore that. It was fun.
How was that for you? I was gonna say, like, did knowing where you guys were landing, connecting, kind of make you feel like you had more license to be angrier with him in the next scene?
Yeah, for sure. Because then I'm like, well, that kind of warrants me to me being angry, because episode 1 through 4, I've completely hated him. So then in this, I was like, okay, for it to be like a true contrast, I need to show that, you know, everything that we've been through, which we haven't done yet, like, everything that we've been through has actually now means that, you know, we can start to rekindle our relationship again, which was really fun.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And with that scene, your and Jack's relationship has changed.
Yeah,
like,
completely.
She learned consequences that when she's been very selfish about her drive, and then it cost you her friendship.
So a lot of things that happened this episode that play out later on in the
season.
Yeah,
exactly.
Thomas is angry with her for, like, the next 3 episodes.
It's really challenging the juggle, too, because episode 4, which I did first and also got to write, is so singular. Like, it doesn't have a ton of repercussions on the rest of the season.
Right.
Whereas this episode is loaded with repercussions on the rest of the season. And also, there's just so much story that happens in this episode in a good way. I loved shooting that scene.
Oh, another cool VFX shot.
Yeah, that was rad.
Oh, this is also from the first day of filming.
That's right.
It was, right? Because we were establishing the whole mind dive thing as well.
All of my dorm scenes were the first day of filming. So this was my first scene getting to work
with
Priscilla.
Good bit of hand modeling there.
And this was a big change here. When you mind dive, originally you saw what happened in New Portland, but we kind of felt the audience had seen that before.
Yeah.
So what Mark thought to do was put in something that we're going to see in a future episode, number 7.
And it still works, because what I, like, acting-wise, again, what I was seeing was obviously the stuff from New Portland, but it still works.
It still works. Shocking. What was seeing something shocking.
Yeah.
Because you're still seeing a past history of Jack, so it's sort of like if the audience were like, oh, wow. Like, and your powers work a little differently than your father's. Yeah.
And they change throughout the season. Like, this is the first time I think we really see you mind diving.
Right.
Yeah. With flashbacks.
I haven't The only other time my mind died was with the code, and that was like. But now it's like he's starting to understand that he can do that, which is really cool.
And that number seven is when you reconnect with Jax in terms of she asks you a favor, and then it has to do with the mind diving.
Exactly,
it's a progress. Like your powers go stronger.
Yep,
I'm an elite mind diver by then.
This was the end of my last day.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I was so ill during this scene.
Yeah,
you remember, I was taking antibiotics all day. Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
But I also remember, like, I was kind of heartbroken because this scene is such a heartbreaking scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to go out on this note. I just loved everything that we had gotten to do with you guys' relationship, and this scene was just so, like, heartbreaking. And Richard did such a great job of just, like, spinning it. And then your hurt was so palpable, and then... You'll see in a second, even when like Rochelle chases you out of the room, like just the emotion of this. What you wouldn't know is that this room was about 1,000 degrees
because
in Bulgaria, you know, it's expensive to run an AC, I guess.
If it works.
Since the coin we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comes back.
Since the coin that comes back. But even like again, like Tina's like just playing in the background. There's so much she's doing just in the back. Mm-hmm. And Rochelle, like it's a very simple moment, but she does so much
with
that. Like,
so much with it emotionally. It's brilliant.
I was like so sad about this scene in a good way.
She does that so well.
I know. So you're just like, oh, man.
Like, you just want to you know?
Dang it. But it's so funny because, like, contrast this with the first time we saw them. He had a crowd wrapped around his finger, and she just kind of hanging onto his arm. Uh-huh. And here he's just shattered and destroyed, and all the power is there. She's just lounging in her seat, just like with all the power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a heartbreaking contrast.
What's funny about this location is we never even thought about it. We're like, we found every other location for 104, 105. We're like, we'll use this.
The first scene of the day. Well, for me anyway.
Yeah, this was the beginning
at Marinella Hotel.
Yeah, Marinella upstairs.
Yeah. So we were still moving the crew upstairs to shoot all the hotel room stuff, and we started our day down here in the lobby.
Yeah.
And I love this moment. And this was another scene that, you know, I love the flashback.
Yeah, the flashback.
Oh, wait, the mind dive. Oh, God. So
the
this
mind.
Was,
oh, yeah. This was. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Oh, talk
this,
about this.
This got to me. This really got to me. Because it was him basically talking about how, you know, I can never see him again. And we've just established this brand new connection. This, you know, I Thomas now loves his dad again after hating him for so many years. And he feels like he's gotten him back. But then now he has to leave again. So when we were doing this scene, all of that was going through my head, and I literally started crying, like, on set that day, I remember.
Yeah.
And it was what Richard is doing was so powerful, and all I had to kind of do was just stand there and listen, and it just really got to me.
Like, Sufo, the line producer, who's Bulgarian,
who
they don't show the most emotion on anything. Sufo came up to me after this movie, he's like, wow.
Aww.
The scene with father and son, he's like, it really... Yeah. Moved Sufo. Yeah. Like, that says a lot for some of the Bulgarians that don't really express their emotions.
It was the second time on this shoot that I cried behind the monitor. Like I got really emotional.
Yeah.
Again, it's just so simple, just letting the two of you do this amazing moment. And then this moment right here, it's such a great, it's the perfect moment to end the episode on.
Yeah.
And it was not the original end of the episode.
It wasn't. The original end was with back upstairs with Tyranny, and she realized she doesn't work for work.
And going back to this as well in the future
with the coin. Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of stuff that plays out.
Being the ultimate recycler, I was saying earlier that I thought, I don't like when full scenes get cut out, especially when they're good, but we found a way to use it in a later episode.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody. That's 105, Tour de Force by Bob Semple. And great work by Brett Simmons and Max.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Great episode.
Brilliant work.
Thank you.
Brilliant work.